which shall be to all people. It's getting close to Christmas. Most people have no idea what we're really celebrating. I didn't until I was 23 years old when I was saved. I accepted Christ at 23. That Christmas was my first real Christmas. I didn't know all these things in the Bible. We didn't grow up in church. Nobody even invited us to church. I didn't know what great joy was. I was always looking for it.
Amen.
As most of you probably, if you're not saved, you used to look for it. If you are looking for it if you're not saved, but if you are saved, you probably used to look for it too. We look for it in all the wrong places. What we thought was joy usually brought us misery in the end. Or at the least, regret, bad memory, burdens. But that night, the shepherds just going about their daily business, watching their flocks by night. The angel of the Lord showed up, and he had a message. Isn't that the same way that the Lord interrupted your life? One day you're just going about your regular life, and all of a sudden God interrupted your life. And by the way, he usually has to interrupt our life. We don't do it voluntarily. He has to get in the way. And except by the grace of God, we'd still be out there stumbling around somewhere. Don't feel too great about what you've done. You've not done much. If it wasn't for him interrupting your life, if the angel of the Lord hadn't showed up one day and convicted you, where would you be today? A lot of us be in hell. But my message was on March the 5th, 1978. That old preacher got up there and he preached me a message of great joy.
Yes.
I didn't even know what I was missing. It's funny, you don't know what you're missing until after you get it. Amen. Right. Then all those years you thought, well, I had that. Right. You thought, well, I've been there. And then after you get it, you say, man, I didn't even know what that was. And then that day I received great joy. I was so happy I could have hugged a tree, man. I'd been full of hate and envy and strife and bitterness and unforgiveness and bad habits and bad friends. And that day I came out of that church a new creature in Christ. I loved everybody. My wife was prettier. My children were sweeter. My house was nicer. The sky was bluer. Amen. Amen. I ought not say this, but I smoked back then. I lit up a L&M. It tasted better than it ever tasted. Took me a year to quit that. Went home, poured the beer and liquor down the sink that day. Praise Had no problem. I did the one-step program. I turned to Jesus. I ain't recovering. I'm redeemed. Amen. I'm regenerated.
Yes.
I didn't turn over a new leaf. I got a new life. Hey, the angel of the Lord, his name was Bully Falkenberry. He came that day, stood up in that pulpit, did his job, and said, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't come to Jesus. And I came, and he saved me, and I got the great joy I've been looking for. You know, the shepherds didn't even know it was there. They weren't even looking for it. They weren't looking for it. They weren't Bible scholars like the wise men. They came looking for it. They'd seen that star. They'd been traveling for months to get there. Here's the shepherds up there just minding their business. They didn't even know they were lost.
Right.
They didn't know they needed a Savior. And the Lord comes to them and said, look, I got some good news for you boys. There's something happening down there in town. You don't have any idea how great joy this is going to bring you.
Amen.
And then they sang. Now let me tell you something. There are several things about Christmas, and I know we give gifts, and my wife's been about to have a nervous breakdown this month buying this and wrapping that and all that. And I know we men lie, and when they put our names on it, we don't even know what's in the box half the time. I would ask you to raise your hand, but your wife would get mad. We don't even know what's going on. We love them, but we think money will solve everything. Just give them $50; they'll be better. You know, give them $100. You know, whatever. But we think that will bring people joy. And then they get that present, they open it up. 9 times out of 10, they never use what you gave them. Or either they re-gift it that next day after you're gone and give it to somebody else. But this is a gift they don't even know they need. Now, they know they need underwear, and they need socks, and they need a tie, and they need a new shirt, and they may need a little money or something like that, but most people don't even know that they need this joy that we have.
Amen.
And we missed the opportunity to give them the greatest gift that was ever given, which is the joy of the Lord, which only comes through knowing the Lord. And they don't know Him. And we think we're doing them a favor by giving them something. A gift certificate to, what's the name of that place? Golden Corral. Her kids gave her a surprise birthday party at the Golden Corral. Amen. Amen. We shouted over that Wednesday night, didn't we? They gave her two candles she can use till she's 87 years old. You figure that out. Let her tell you. Amen. But most people don't even know what they're missing. I didn't know. I thought I was doing pretty good until the angel of the Lord showed up that day. I'd like to say I got saved the first time I heard that, but I didn't. I said, I'm going to do better. I did better. But I still didn't get saved. Then months later, I go back. And that same big old preacher preaching that same big old message with that same big old finger pointing in my face every time I looked up. And I'd like to say I received it that day. I didn't. I said, I'm going to go home, and I ain't never coming back down here. These people make me nervous. And I've been in some bad places. I mean, I grew up in all in places in Lancaster where you had to sit with your back to the wall. I ain't know any good people. Everybody I knew come under 3 L's. They was in jail or out on bail or already in hell. I didn't know no good people. And that man scared me. And I've been around some scary people. Don't you think when the angel of the Lord showed up, it scared those shepherds? Why, hey, they were quaking in their boots, man. He said, don't worry, I got something good to tell you. And then after that second visit, my wife accidentally told that preacher our address. And the angel of the Lord showed up at my house. Not where I work. He showed up at my house. And I'd like to say I get saved. I got saved. I didn't, but I did get better. But I still wasn't saved. And I said, preacher, when I quit cussing and lying and drinking and running around this crowd I run around with, I'll come to church and I'll join church. I'll be a Christian. He said, son, the angel said, Bully Falkenberry, he said, son, you'll die and go to hell. Yeah. When was the last time you heard that? Amen. I'm glad he was a man. He wasn't a nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching preacher. He told the truth. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Tell me the truth. Amen. That's what I want to hear. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord showed up at my house. He did it about 3 times. He brought people with him. Becky's sitting up here. Her and Suzanne would crawl up one side of them and down the other side. They was about 3 or 4 years old, and they'd crawl in their lap, and they'd crawl up. Amen. And then finally that day, March 5th, 1978, was my Christmas.
Amen.
I got the greatest gift that was ever given.
Yes, you did.
Eternal life.
That's right.
I'm never going to die. I'm going to live as long as God lives.
Amen.
But wait a minute, preacher. You got to hang on. Yeah, I'm going to hang on to Him. But wait a minute, preacher, you got to be good. I'm hanging on to His goodness.
Amen.
I'd went to hell the second day after I asked Him to save me if it hadn't been for Him. Amen.
Yeah, right.
I'm looking at Him. I ain't looking at me.
Amen.
After a few months, I went to see the angel of the Lord, my pastor. Same preacher. I said, preacher, I done messed up. I said, I thought I was a Christian. And I found myself saying things and doing things Christians ought not say or do. He looked at me and said, I got good news. He said, what's that? He said, you're in the same boat with the rest of us. He said, ain't none of us perfect. We'll never be perfect till He makes us perfect up there.
Amen.
He said, we want to do it, but we're like the old Apostle Paul, that which we would, we do not, and that which we would not, that we do. He said, you're not perfect yet, but keep working at it, you'll get better.
Amen.
Don't quit, don't give up, don't quit going to church, don't quit praying, don't quit reading your Bible. And the good news is you're still saved. You didn't save you and you can't keep you. He does every bit of that.
Amen.
Now that was good news. That was my second Christmas present. Amen. Now, You know, the good news was that Jesus Christ had come to the world in the flesh.
Yes.
You know, for 400 years they hadn't heard from God.
Right.
For 400 years, Israel, nor anybody in the world had heard from God. And all of a sudden, here these angels show up and start telling them what great things God's about to do. Hey, it was a long time a lot of us hadn't heard from God. And some of you haven't heard from God in a long time now. But I've got news for you. That same Lord is still Lord.
Yes.
And He's still Savior. And the good news is still the good news. What you need to do is look to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Unto Him who's able to keep you and present you faultless in His presence with exceeding joy. Now He does that. That's all Him. What He did that day, He came down to the world and He said, look, y'all done made a mess of this. I'm going to show you how to fix yourself.
Amen.
I'll do the fix and you just do the trust.
Amen.
There was great joy that night. There was joy like nobody had ever experienced, that somebody would die who didn't have to die for those who deserved to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And He knew no sin.
Right.
And since He knew no sin, why did He die? He died for us so that He could pay for our sin.
Amen.
And God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You have nothing you've ever done, nothing you ever will do that Jesus didn't die for on that cross that day.
Right.
You know, some of you got saved about a year later, you backslid, you found yourself doing, saying, or being what you ought not. And you thought, oh no, I ain't saved no more. Did you know that before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God had this plan in place?
Yeah.
And He didn't wake up that day that you messed up and said, uh-oh, I didn't know Ron would do that. He died for you before you were ever born. I remember I told that same angel came to my house. I said, preacher, when I quit doing all this stuff, I'll be a Christian. And he said, listen, if you could quit sinning and never sin again, which you can't. Now you can get saved. God will change your life, but you'll never be 100%.
Amen. That's right.
He said, but if you could, who's going to pay for what you've already done?
Come on, man. Yeah. That's right.
That's good news.
Amen.
He's already paid for it.
Yes.
We sing that song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe.
Yes.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen.
Well, I like that. Y'all talking about I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. That's a white Christmas. He washes all those sins, those ugly, nasty stains away. Whiter than snow on the inside. Now, hey, when God looked at you before, He saw all nasty, dirty, filthy sin, all our righteousness is filthy rags, Isaiah said. And now He looks at us after we've received the payment from His Son to be saved. He doesn't see that anymore. He sees the washed away white as snow. His Son paid for that. His Son paid for the sins of A.D. 1, and He's still paying for the sins of 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22. You just keep on living, He'll keep on paying.
Amen.
Now, what kind of present is that that wouldn't make you have great joy?
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to say this, probably make somebody mad, but that's all right. You won't be the first one. Some Christians look like, well, before I was saved, I looked at some and I thought, why would I want what they got? I mean, if it makes him that miserable, I'm miserable enough without tacking religion on there. Amen? Made me miserable, man. Hey, here's what I say. If Jesus don't bless you, you ain't never met Him. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, it's because you laid it down somewhere. When you got saved, He gave you the joy of the Lord. Because, see, He came to die for your sins. And when you realize that and you accepted Him as your Savior, then that gave you joy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you know that this great joy is experienced in salvation alone?
Yes.
Now, here's the reason. I'm justified. That's a big word for a boy from Lancaster, ain't it? I'm justified. What that means is when God sees me, He sees me just as if I'd never sinned.
Amen.
I'm justified by His payment, by His sacrifice,
Amen.
By His death, burial, and resurrection. He declared me righteous and justified with the Father.
Amen.
And that gives me joy, because when I look at me a lot of times, I don't see that. Then there's great joy in service. Did you know we used to sing this little song, Jesus, J-O-Y, Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead. He said, show me your faith, and I will show you my works. Did you know serving the Lord gives us joy? Did you know the unhappiest Christians in the church are those who do nothing for their Savior?
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean you got to preach. I never would have picked this. Matter of fact, I told him he was making a mistake for a whole year before I finally gave in. And I kept telling him those guys behind me ought to get it. But serving the Lord Jesus Christ after all He's done for me, that's not a burden to me. That's a joy to me.
Amen.
I have three daughters. I love all three of them the same. Don't. I'm sorry, Becky's here. I love Becky the most. Don't you mess with them. I'm telling you, don't mess with my daughter. I love them. I go to jail over my daughters. You read in the paper that the pastor of Cornerstone Baptist Church didn't buy his wife a $200,000 foreign car. He went to jail for beating up some punk for hurting his daughter. And when the newspaper comes, say, did you do that? I'll say, amen. And I asked the Lord, forgive me when I got through, and He did. Because my children, look, serving them is not a burden to me. Serving my children's a joy.
Yes.
I never had a father. I ain't been real good at it myself. I didn't have a real good example. I had none. But I'm going to tell you something. It never bothered me to get up and go to work and work all day and work extra to take care of my children. I used to preach at the Chain Gang. I preached out there every Monday night for about 10 years. And I'd preach out there and I'd ask these guys, I said, what are you in here for? They'd say, child support. I said, you ought to be in jail. And they ought to keep you here. Until you and let them find you a job, and you promise to work until the day you die and take care of your children.
Amen.
Well, got quiet on that one. I don't know. Over half the children now are born out of wedlock. I was unusual. I was an illegitimate child, and when I was, there was only about 10% born that way. Now read the paper. Over half of them born out of wedlock.
Amen.
If you're here today, you and a man and a woman, you got children, you ain't married, you need to get married. I'll do it this afternoon. You need to make a commitment to God and let Him help you a little bit. But I tell you, before I got saved, I got up and went to work jobs I didn't like. I worked one job I hated every day. I hated that job. Everybody there hated me. I hated that job for 6 years. I said, Lord, whatever it is, let me get this done so I can get out of here. And finally I led one guy to Christ that worked there, and the Lord let me leave. I was so happy. That boy got saved, and so did I. It never bothered me to support my children. I love my wife. She works. Before she worked, our kids were little, and she had went to college. We got married, and then we started having kids. She had to leave college. She was going to be a school teacher, and she went back to college after the kids got old enough to be in school all day. And my kids ate whatever I could. They ate while she was at school, And then she got out and she got a teacher's job so she can be at home when they're at home and be at work when they're at school. And that wasn't a sacrifice for us. It's not a burden. It's joy to serve your children. It's joy to serve your wife. It's joy to serve your husband. Uh-oh, he didn't say that, did he? Got quiet on that one. I know yours works you to death. I know. The Southern Baptists took it out of their Bible and out of their marriage vows, you know, that the woman is to serve her husband. Well, you're going to change your Bible. And by the way, ladies, if you love that man, you know he ain't got enough sense to take care of himself. You got to take care of him. Say amen, ladies.
Amen.
And that's not a burden. That's a joy to have a husband in the first place. If he comes home every day and treats you right and works a job and pays the bill, you'll be the happiest woman in town. It's great joy. You keep on working, brother. I'll come out there to see you. I'll bring your wife. There's great joy in serving. And as a Christian, I have no problem serving other people. Here's what my pastor, Dr. Wayne Smith, told me when he ordained me. It might have been Bully. I can't remember one of them. But here's what they said. Now, Ron, being in the ministry is not easy. He said, there's a lot of people just going to use you. But you're in the ministry. And you got to let them use you.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when you could be with your family, you're going to have to be with them.
That's right.
And they don't hardly ever come to church, and they don't do nothing for nobody else, but you're going to have to do it.
Yes.
And I don't have a problem with that. It gives me joy to serve people.
Amen.
Did you know, look at Luke chapter 2, verse 40, real quick. I'm almost through. I know it's, is it hot in here?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
I'll point people over this thing, then I have to walk over here and do it. I don't know why. Anyway. Everybody but Danny, I can't make him over. Look at verse 40. The only church in town where the preacher had to quit his sermon and go turn there. Hello. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Amen.
Now look at verse 52. Look at verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and, help me class,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you know there's great joy in spiritual strength? You know, the unhappiest Christian is the one who never grows. There's a lot of people got saved, and the Bible calls that babes in Christ. You just got born again. You're a baby. Paul says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Babies need milk. They can't eat steak. They'll choke. They need milk. But then there comes a time where you wean them and they grow and they begin to eat solid food. Amen?
Yes.
Some of you have gone back to milk. You've lost all your teeth and now you're back. But there's a time that you grow. And you grow spiritually. And it gives you joy. When I first got saved, I'd never read a verse in the Bible. Not a book, but even a verse. We had a family Bible set on our table at Mama's house. Most of you old folks had those. Y'all remember the family Bible?
Yes.
Nobody ever read it. It sat on the coffee table. You remember coffee tables? They don't even have them anymore, do they? And it sat on the coffee table. Big Bible, you know, big, had pictures in it. We kids look at the pictures. We pressed little flowers. It had a four-leaf clover pressed in it.
Yes.
Had all the baby hair locks from the baby being born in. Y'all remember that? Come on, help me.
Yes, sir.
You remember that? Did you ever read it? No.
Perfect.
We didn't read the Bible. We didn't go to church. They called us white trash. Nobody wanted us in their church. But boy, that day I got great joy and salvation. You know what else I got? I got a hunger and a thirst for spiritual things. Spiritual things. You didn't have to beg me to go to church. I was going to be there. And this stuff about we can't go on Sunday night or Wednesday night because our kids go to school. My kids went to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. They had a drug problem. We drug them Sunday morning. We drug them Sunday night. We drug them Wednesday night. We drug them to revival. We drug them to camp meeting. We drug them to vacation Bible school. If the church had it going on, we was there. Amen. If somebody spit off the front porch, we was going to be there. They had a meeting. We was going to be there. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
And that gave me great joy.
Yes.
I began to grow. And I went to work after I got saved at an industrial cotton mills where I was working when I got saved. Some guy had a Bible back there. He never read it, the back of our machine. So I got it. And while the machine's running, I'm reading that Bible. And I'd get those people who claimed to be Christians in there. I'd be sitting there crying. They'd come up and they'd say, "What you crying about?" And I'd show them the verses I'd been reading. I'd say, "Did you know that was in there?" And they'd say, "Yeah, I've been on that since I was a little boy in Sunday school." I'd say, "Well, why ain't you crying?" They started calling me preacher. Before they called me hippie. Now I'm a preacher. And I said, "I don't know what a preacher is, but I know I ain't one. But if that's what it takes to talk to you about the Bible, I'll do that." I tried to witness the old Church of God man. He grew up in Church of God. He got out of church, out of God's will, said he was lost. I couldn't understand how you could ever get lost if you were saved.
Amen.
I didn't know nothing about church. I just started going. And I was sitting there reading that Bible, smoking L&M. It took me a year to quit smoking. That's the hardest thing I ever quit in my life. And I'm sitting, "Y'all got quiet on that and you still smoke?" I was sitting there smoking that thing, ashes falling on the Bible, knocking them off. The old Church of God guy come up there. I said, "Have you ever read this?" He said, "You can't talk to me about the Bible." I said, "Here it is. It's your Bible." He said, "You can't talk to me about the Bible." I said, "Why?" He said, "As long as you're smoking them cigarettes, you're going to hell." Now, I knew better than that. I went and asked my preacher. He said, "No, it won't send you to hell. It just make you smell like you done been there." So he told me again, "As long as you're smoking them cigarettes, you can't talk to me about the Bible." I said, "Well, if that's all it is, I'll quit." Yeah. There I went, that one-step program again. I turned to Jesus.
Amen.
Took me about a week and a nervous breakdown, but I finally got off of them things. And I got great joy because I felt like I grew a little bit.
Amen.
Got me a little spiritual muscle. Been saved a year. The pastor said, "Well, you teach this Sunday school class." I said, "I just started going to Sunday school." He said, "Well, won't nobody else teach? It's got the Burgesses in it." I said, "Sure, I can be just smart mouthed as they are." So I went in there and boy, I felt my muscles grow. Had to read the Bible. I said, "Preacher, what all y'all have down here?" When I first got saved, he said, "Well, we got Sunday morning preaching." I said, "Yeah, I already go to that." He said, "Well, what about Sunday school?" I said, "What's Sunday school?" He said, "Well, that's where you go in class, your age group, and they study the Bible and you learn the Bible." I said, "Well, I have to start in first grade." He said, "No, you won't have to start." I said, "Well, I have to pass a test or something?" He said, "No, you don't have to pass no test." I thought it was called Sunday school, you know. He said, "Just go in there and sit down and listen." I said, "All right, I can do that." And I grew a little bit. Then I got Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. You couldn't beat me out of church. I grew a little bit. Then I started going Sunday night, you know. And boy, and then Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study. I could have charged hell with a water pistol, man. I was starting to learn the Bible. I was growing and I was happy. And then I'd meet these Christians at church, showed up every once in a while, and they looked like the most unhappy people I ever thought in my life. And I look back on it, here's what it was, Brother Ron. Healthy people are usually happy people. Unhealthy people are not happy.
Amen.
And these Christians are dying for lack of food, spiritual food.
Amen.
They're not getting it. And there's great joy in growing spiritually.
Amen.
The first time I ever witnessed anybody here, I wasn't strong enough. I was trying to grow, and here's what I said: "Well, come down there to church. My preacher preaches it every Sunday." But I grew a little bit, and it got easier, and I got stronger. I got to quit. My time's up, though. Y'all did start late. Children's church, where you sing? Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. We start off down here. I don't know if I can still do it.
That hurts.
Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. I used to stop right there, but that hurts. And you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow. It took about 3 verses to get all the way grown. I couldn't do that. And I say, neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. That's as low as I can go without falling over. That's the same way. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. You'll be happy. You'll have the joy of the Lord if you'll just get well by growing in the Lord. People don't believe that. Well, preacher, you know, I can't do those things. I can do all things through Christ.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Last one. We're on our way home. What was that place?
Country.
Golden Crowd. I called it Country Crowd the other night. Was that a beer joint or something? Everybody laughed. I don't know what that is. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Look at verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. Look at it, Luke 2, 17. I'll quit. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Did you know that there's great joy in telling others?
Oh, yes.
There's great joy in telling others. Listen to what Philip told his brother, one of the disciples, after he got saved. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. Did you know you'll get joy out of telling others about Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Most of you look at it as a burden, or at the worst, an embarrassment. I'm like the Apostle Paul, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I want to thank God I'm not ashamed of him. And there's great joy in telling people so much about that Savior. Did you know these people went all over town and told them? These shepherds went and hollered it, man. Ignorant, unlearned, not bathed men went all over town saying, you need to come see this. You need to come see this. The Savior has been born. The Savior has been born. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, she was a loose living woman, married multiple times, shacking up with a man. What are you married to? And Jesus said, if you ever drink of the water I have, you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
And she said, evermore, give me that water to drink.
Right.
And he said, I'm the water. And she received him as her Savior. And next thing she did, she went into town shouting, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? She got great joy. Now that one with the worst reputation in town. It wouldn't shock them to hear most of you talk about him if you just open your mouth. And then you'd get so much joy. And let me tell you, the greatest thing to being saved is getting somebody else saved.
Amen.
Boy, when somebody else comes to Jesus, you get just about as happy as they do. You see, your problem is this old world and the people of this world and a lot of these old dead churches has convinced you that it don't work no more. Well, it does. It didn't say go play the band and all the world will come to Christ. It said go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
It didn't say have a drama and everybody get saved. It said go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those shepherds didn't say we're building a big old building over here. Y'all ought to come be a part of it.
Right.
They went and preached the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And it gives me joy to go out in all the world. And look, I told it in Sunday school, you don't have to do it on organized. Nowhere in the Bible is there organized visitation. They all just told everybody they knew.
Yes.
It might shock some of your family this Christmas if you'd stop during that Christmas giving out presents and say, wait a minute, let's pray and thank the Lord for the greatest present he ever gave me.
Amen.
It would shock some of your family and friends if at that Christmas dinner somebody would say, wait a minute, we need to thank God for the dinner and the Savior that he sent and the life we're celebrating in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
And pray out loud.
Amen.
But then when you get through, you'll say, phew. Good. And you know what else? Some of them might just be looking for what you got. There's great joy. It changed the entire life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All those old things pass away and all things become new. It changes people's lives. But you know, if you don't have the joy of the Lord, I think, number one, you'll check your salvation, see if you have really been saved. If when people are talking about how good it is to be saved, it doesn't make you feel good to be saved, you might ought to check, see if you ever really been saved. And then when others are singing and preaching and teaching about the goodness of God through Jesus Christ and what He did, and it doesn't stir your heart, and you might even be a little bit embarrassed about it because you brought somebody with you and they're not like this, and it embarrasses you, I'd check that salvation if I was you. It might be that this Christmas season, which is the easiest time of the year to witness to people, take these little old gospel tracts right here, you check out at the counter, give the little girl one, say, Merry Christmas, read this, it'll be a blessing. You ain't got time to preach, but you got 30 seconds. Leave them on the table today when you go to the restaurant and put a little money in them. Don't be a cheap Baptist, put a little money in it, lay it down there, and let them read the thing.
Yes.
When you get through, you'll feel better about it.
Amen.
We got the greatest story that was ever told. And nobody wants to tell it. You say, preacher, you're embarrassing me. That's good. That's good. Preacher, that makes me feel bad. That's good. That's good. And some of you are going to leave here today and say, Pastor, you're stepping on my toes today. I'm going to say, I wasn't aiming at your toes. It's your mind and your heart that needs to get right.
Yes,
we don't care what your toes look like. You got the joy of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You say, Preacher, I've been through some hard times. Yeah, well, you can keep your joy and still be sad about hard times. Well, preacher, they don't treat me right. Well, you can still keep your joy. He's going to treat you right. By the way, this is not the end. This is just the one little piece of your eternal life. And old devil, he'll try to get rid you of your joy. He'll steal it from you. And he'll use family and friends and jobs and situations and heartache and heartbreak. But you need to look at the old devil and say, well, hallelujah anyhow. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll get it all back and more in the end. Thank God. Hallelujah. Have a fit. Jump a pew. Do something. You know, if you do that, it changed where you work. It changed where you go to school. I went to work. Kanawha hired me when we first started this church. Kanawha Insurance. And I went in there, those guys was cussed. They all claimed to be Christian. They're doing those little Christian cusses. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Little words ain't real bad, but they ain't real good either. And so I'd go in and they say, how you doing today? I'd say, praise God, I'm alive. I'd go in and they'd say, man, you hear about this new thing we got to do for the company? I'd say, hallelujah, I got a job. You hear about old so-and-so? I'd say, well, praise God, I'm still here, still walking. God's been good to me. And then on my first evaluation, my manager called me in there, Billy Sanders. Some of y'all might know him. If you do, the Lord will forgive you for that. And he called me in there and said, Ron, I don't know what to say. He said, you're doing great on your job. You're always in top 10, all this stuff, you know. He said, but there's one thing I got to tell you. I said, oh, no, here it comes. They told me this at those other two jobs I had. I need to quiet down, quit talking about church and all the Bible, you know, things like that. He said, this place has changed. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, used to be I come in here in the mornings, these guys come dragging in, complaining, cussing, fussing. He said, now all I hear is praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I don't know how you did it, but keep up the good word. I said, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know preachers, they say, how you get your people to shout? I said, I shout. I say, amen?
Amen.
I say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If y'all had been here Wednesday night, y'all had a whole lot more fun. But look, my mama just died a few months ago. 99 and a half years old. I wept. I cried. I still do.
Yes.
But I've got the joy of the Lord down in my soul that so outweighs those tears.
Yes.
I've got that hope. I've got that hope and those promises that passes all understanding. I've got that peace that passes understanding. You can weep and cry and still have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You say, well, I failed. Amen.
Yes.
Good man falls seven times. Good. Hey, the good thing is he gets back up.
Amen.
Get up!
Yes.
But you ain't stealing my joy.
That's right.
Job looked at his own wife and said, you sound like a foolish woman.
Yes.
I ain't cussing God and dying. Hey, I'm going to praise God. He's been good to me.
Yes.
Now it's coming Christmas. So I'm going to ask you, number one, do you have the joy of the Lord and salvation? Have you ever been saved? Do you know for sure if you died right now, you go to heaven? If you don't, we're going to have a preacher. If you're a man, he'll be standing here in a minute with a Bible. He'll show you three or four verses. All you got to do is do what he says, what the Bible says, and you can be saved. If you're a woman, you step up here. His wife's sitting right here. She'll help you once you see us. We got two chairs in that office and two chairs in that storage room over there. You can be privately. If you're more than that, we got rooms down yonder. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want you to receive the joy we got.
Amen.
Now, if you are saved, you lost your joy. Probably it's because of sin. Amen?
Amen.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's where you lay your sins, right there. I'm not a pope. I'm not even a priest. You're the priest. You can go straight to God. I'll pray with you if you want me to, but you know you need to do business with him, not me. Get right there and admit, God, I knew what I was doing. That's not me. That's old me. Forgive me. And then maybe you've had a heartache. Maybe the old devil's thrown a wrench in your joy. Maybe you've had disaster or tragedy in your life and he's trying to steal your joy. You come up here and you lay that on the altar. You say,
yes,
God, I can't
amen.
Carry this by myself. And you said you'd bear my burdens with me. Now, God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me. You said you would and you can't lie. And he'll give you that joy.
Amen.
Let's stand. Heads back.